afternoon. The time is 12:07, and you're tuned to Midday Matters Outer Spaces here on 89.1 FM. I'm Sean Beter, very happy to be with you on this Thursday afternoon. Just one more day until the weekend. In the meantime, though, we've got a great program for you. Jason Kissel from Acres Land Trust is with us once again. Jason, thanks so much for being here.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Jason joins us on the first Thursday of every month, and we're very happy to have him along. Jason, we have kind of a review of our topic that we chatted about last time you were here, talking about how animals survive and adapt to the cold. And we'll get to that topic in just a moment. Of course, we want folks to communicate with us this hour if they have a question or comment about our topic. 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. We'll get to that topic in just a moment. But first, Jason, you and I were talking before the show. Acres has reached a big milestone.
Yeah, we have. On December 27th, we closed on an 87-acre property in Allen County along the Maumee River. And it's a wonderful property in and of itself, but what it did was pushed us over a milestone. That property gave us 5,046 acres, and so we hit our 5,000th acre preserved on that property. And so it's a great milestone for the organization. I mean, in one aspect, it's just a number. You know, it's 5,000. But when you really stop to think about what that means, you know, that's 5,000 acres within our area that's never going to be changed into something else. It's always going to be preserved in its natural state, doing what nature does. And so when you really stop and think, you know, each acre is important. And so when we hit these kinds of milestones, it really makes me not, you know, we celebrate this, you know, we're going to have a big celebration and we'll put a marker there, you know, this is our 5,000th acre and things like that. But to me, it just reminds me of all those people who came before us. You know, Acres has been around about 52 years. And it's just really neat to see this chain of support all the way from 1960 that has led to this milestone today. And even more exciting to know that there's going to be someone sitting here in my space, or maybe me, hopefully, will hit that 10,000th acre and then the 25,000th acre, you know, and just know that that's going to continue. So that's really what we celebrate, is more than the number, just the longevity.
That's a heck of a milestone. And you know, we always introduce you as Jason from Acres Land Trust. And I know a lot of our listeners are fans of the organization. For those who don't know what you do, though, give us the capsule.
Sure. You know, Acres Land Trust is a nonprofit organization. We get funding from people who appreciate what we do. And what we do is preserve natural areas. And so we kind of look all throughout Northeast Indiana and in portions of Ohio and Michigan and look for those areas that are kind of the best that are still in a natural state. Hmm. And then we pursue those. The property we just closed on, we started to talk to the owners in 1980. And so, you know, it took several decades for us to obtain this property. And so we have the luxury of patience because we know we're going to be here and we know the properties are going to be here. And so once we obtain a property, we guarantee never to sell it and we'll always manage it in a natural state. And so now we have about a little over 5,000 acres among 85 different nature preserves. Most are open to the public, where people can go and enjoy them daily from dawn to dusk.
Wow. Well, congratulations. And you were saying before we started here, too, Acres is now acquiring about 250, roughly, acres per year?
Correct. That's kind of been our average the last several years. And our new strategic plan, starting just a few days ago, is really to double that within the next 5 years. And so there is a lot of great natural areas out there that we're not able to obtain just because of funding. And mm-hmm. So that's going to be my job, is hey, figure that out so we don't let as many be converted into other uses.
Well, very good. And well, I'm sure we'll chat with you on your 10,000th and maybe your millionth acre.
There we go.
If the funding starts rolling in. Well, congratulations, Jason. And we're glad to have that resource in our community and have you here on our program today. So I mentioned at the top of the show, we wanted to take just kind of a look back at one of our previous topics here, because as everybody knows, it's gotten very, very cold. And we just had that delightful little snowstorm not too long ago here. What's the topic today, Jason?
It's really anything cold related. You know, the last month we talked about how animals deal with cold, and we went over several things, and there's several more that we can talk about today. But as a quick review, you know, we covered a lot of animals just say, hey, it's cold, I'm getting out of here. And so they migrate south. And then we're south for a lot of animals too. So we get an influx of some species and an outflux of many other ones. And we talked about, you know, how animals can go into hibernation, the ones that stay here. Most animals don't, but there's a few that do. And so we talked about that, and then talked about daily torpor, where animals will go into kind of a mini hibernation. A lot of birds will do that each night. And so we talked about some of the other things about, you know, fur and, you know, building up fat reserves and birds fluffing up their feathers and, you know, and all kinds of those things, and how turtles kind of burrow into the mud underneath of ponds. And then the terrestrial turtles do the same thing on land. They kind of dig a hole underneath the leaf litter and just kind of sit there and wait for spring to come. And so that was kind of the gist of what we covered last time. And we'll cover a few new topics today. How animals deal with it. But a question I have too is really, how do you as a human deal with it? There's so many opportunities that the cold provides that you can't do any other time of the year because it's not cold enough. And so we want to hear your stories about what you enjoy doing outside just because of the cold. You know, many people say, oh, it's cold, and it's kind of a negative thing, but really say, why do you get excited when it gets cold? Maybe you're an avid ice fisherman. You can't do that in the summertime. So cold really provides a lot of great benefits.
What are your favorite cold activities? And whether you're an ice fisherman or perhaps a skier, or you just like to get outside when it's a little bit brisk, how do you enjoy the outdoors when these months come along? Give us a call and share your story. Be a part of the conversation today. It's 260-452-1185, or outside of the 260, it's 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. You can always post on our Facebook wall. That's facebook.com/middaymatters. Or send us a tweet @middaymatters. Lots of ways to get a hold of us this hour, and we certainly hope you do. Jason, let's get to this week's topic while folks mull over which stories they want to share with
all
us.
All right.
So we talked about last time around that, you know, animals obviously have a lot of ways to keep warm, winter activities, basically they have to figure out a way to survive the winter, at least those who stick around.
Exactly. You know, and we covered a lot of things. And one thing we didn't get to was wildlife biologists often refer to this as the Bergman's rule, where animals in colder climates tend to be larger. And so if you're larger, you have a lower surface area to volume. And so what that does is help you keep heat inside. So you take, for example, white-tailed deer. You take a white-tailed deer in Alabama, and on average, it's going to be much smaller than a white-tailed deer here in northern Indiana.
Hmm.
And so that applies really across all species. It's really interesting when you look. And sticking with deer, I mean, you've seen the key lime or the key lime limes, but you've seen the key deer. They're about the size of a greyhound, but not as long as a greyhound, just tiny little deer that you see down there. And then as you get further north, deer species in general get much larger. You see the elk and the moose and some of these things up in northern climates.
Hmm.
And so when you really stop to think about it, even among species, you see larger animals the colder that it gets. And that's because they can conserve that heat. And on conversely, you know, if you're in heat, you don't want to be this great, big, large animal. And so it's really interesting when you stop and think about it. And then it really holds true within the species, too. So if you look at average weight of deer harvested in southern states compared to ours, you'll really notice that, hey, we have 10 to 15 to 20 pounds on those deer from the southern counties.
Well, I guess that explains why I'm a little bit bigger than my cousin in Arizona, too. So we want to hear your winter stories, 260-452-1185, or email middaymatters@nipr.fm. So basically, these animals have evolved to fight off the cold if they're in a northern climate. And if they're a bigger animal, of course, they need more energy, but they also have more space available, let's say, for energy reserves as well.
Well, exactly. You know, when we're trying to maintain 98.6 degrees, most animals are trying to obtain about 104 to 106, and so they run hotter than we do. Mm. And so whatever advantage you can get to stay warm is great. It's going to be 13 tonight. you know, and you got to stay 104 degrees. That's pretty hard. We have a hard time. We were just running in between. I put my coat on just to run from the parking lot into the studio, you know, and then now I'm in 68, 70 degree room. Animals don't have that ability. They've got to remain 104 degrees all winter long. There'll be 13 degrees around them tonight, maybe 27 if they're lucky today. They have no place to go heat up. And so they've got to do this month after month after month. Hmm. And so they've adapted all these great strategies, you know, sticking with the deer. Their fur is denser in the wintertime. It's their winter coat. And so they find ways to do that. If you look at where a deer will bed down, it's not happen chance. You know, they block the wind. They, you know, face the way that the wind's not blowing. They tuck their head in next to their body. So again, they're reducing that surface area exposed. They may even bed down next to a rock that's been sitting in the sun all day because that rock is going to retain some heat.
Wow.
And so they're very smart. If you had to stay outside the next 10 nights in a row, where you sleep the second and third night's probably going to be a lot better than you do the first, because you'll start to quickly realize, wow, it's just a half a degree warmer here or a degree warmer over here. And these animals are doing this every winter for years and years and years. And so they get very smart at what they're doing. Right now, they're utilizing the snow. You know, they won't push down all the snow around them. They'll try to get just enough snow out of their way where there's snow around them, blocking that wind and providing them some insulation.
Well, and we were even talking about this this last week on this program. Snow, it is seen as a sign of cold times, but also a relatively effective insulation.
Oh, it's great, yeah. And you'll see that really when the snow stays on the ground as long as this, the mice will start to develop, you know, tunnels underneath. They really don't hibernate much. And so they are in heaven right now, because they are staying, you know, it's probably close to 30 degrees and maybe even a little warmer than that underneath there. And so they've got a great tunnel system now. They can stay away from the predators of the hawks and things seeing them. They got this great tunnel system now.
Are you saying there's a city of mice in the field behind the studio?
There really are.
Oh, man. Well, we need to take just a quick break here. We'll continue with this topic when we return. And of course, we want you to get in touch with us today. What are your favorite cold activities? What do you look forward to when this season rolls around? And of course, we want to know what's going on in your backyard as well. Have you seen animals preparing for the wintertime or now dealing with the wintertime? Give us a call and share your story. 260-452-1185 or toll free at 1-800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at middaymatters. Stay with us. Conversation continues when we return.
It's time to meet music.
Happy New Year. I'm Julia Mika, and what's new on this week's Meet the Music? Special sounds by Wayne McEvely, Hank Ochoa, Jerome and the Psychics, and The Constants.
That's Thursday night from 7 to 9 here at 89.1 FM or listen online at nipr.fm. A two-hour serving of homegrown delights here on Meet the Music.
I got my guitar.
A rebuilt Jersey Shore might not have the same beachfront homes and roller coasters.
Is it going to look like people remember from their childhoods? No.
Town planners want the nostalgia, but not its vulnerability.
The next time a superstorm rolls through, we want to be able to pull down the hurricane shutters and wait for the power to come back on.
Post Sandy Planning, today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
That's weekdays starting at 4 on WBOI Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
The largest al-Qaeda-held territory in the world is in northern Mali, where Islamic extremists seized control in April and are terrifying the population by performing amputations as punishments. Islamic extremists now have a sanctuary there. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Adam Nossiter, the New York Times West Africa Bureau Chief. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Catlin Moran ventured into uncharted territory. She wrote a laugh-out-loud book about feminism and the disconnect between image and reality.
Women's existences are completely different to what they're projecting or what they're willing to talk about, and that's absolutely bizarre.
I'm Neil Conan. Catlin Moran, How to Be a Woman, one of the books we missed. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
It's 12:22. You're tuned to Midday Matters Outer Spaces on WBOI Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. With us this hour, because it's the first Thursday of this month, it's Jason Kissel from Acres Land Trust, and we're talking this hour about how animals survive and adapt to the winter cold. But we also want to know what's going on in your backyard, and of course, we want to know how you survive the winter's cold as well. Do you have favorite activities that you can only pursue in the winter time, or do you have favorite winter memories? Jason and I were talking, you know, a lot of memories can be made simply because the world is feels a little different in the winter time. Share those stories with us. We really want to hear from you this hour. 260-452-1185 or 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can send us a tweet at Midday Matters. And Jason, as I mentioned just now, we've been talking about some favorite memories, some favorite things to do that you can only do out in the cold. And very often the wintertime can provide some unique memories.
Yeah, you know, it really can. And there's great opportunities, you know, whether you really like the ice, you know, in our quarterly, we just came out with our new newsletter, and the photography is stunning. And it's nothing but ice. The cover is just a picture of some ice with some other objects in it, and just the patterns of the ice is just amazing. And then our center spread is showing these huge icicles at one of the preserves in Wabash County. You know, some of them are about 20 feet tall and just these big, massive ice sculptures, you know, with the blue tint. It kind of looks like the iceberg ice, you know. And so seeing those kinds of things. And one of my favorite things to do when there's snow on the ground is wait for a full moon and go out there, and it's so bright, you don't need any kind of a flashlight or anything else, and you can walk through the forest, and, you know, the stars are so bright in the wintertime, there's no haze or any kind of humidity to look through, and so the stars are so bright, you could see those, and the moon is so bright and reflecting off the snow that you see all these shadows out there, and, you know, and again, just by being cold, that can make a memory with someone else. You know, we often don't say, hey, you remember that hike when we just had, it was a perfect temperature and, you know, we could breathe normally. And, you know, that's not much of a story. But if you go out when it's zero or negative and take that same hike and start to notice, you know, oh man, my nose is running, and your nose runs for a reason, you know, just like when you turn the tap on to keep your pipes from freezing. Our bodies react to extreme cold by making our nose water. And that works until a certain time period. When you start to get really cold, your nostrils start to freeze together. And I remember specifically the first time that happened. I was about 11 years old, walking with my dad. You know, I wouldn't remember that had it not been for the cold. You know, it gets so cold that your nose will just literally, when you breathe in, it'll freeze your nostrils together until you take that next breath. That's, you know, that's something that you'll remember, you know, and I've remembered it every time since that has happened. And so again, sometimes just being in cold, whether it's really extreme cold or really extreme heat, you know, just being outside in those temperatures can make a memory in and of itself. And again, there's some precautions you need to take, obviously, but you don't need to have this great Arctic gear. You know, it's really just layers. You know, you don't need any specialized equipment. You don't need all this parkas and fur coats and all these kinds of things to stay warm. Just put on more clothes, you know, and be smart about it. When it gets down into the negative temperatures, you want to pretty much cover everything, you know, but temperatures like tonight, 17 degrees, you're not going to get in trouble unless you're out there for hours and hours and hours and hours without any protection. It's very comfortable to be out there. I was out last night walking through a forest about 8 o'clock, you know, really dark, just beautiful, very quiet. You know, the snow was on the ground, and even without much of a moon, it was still very bright. Again, it didn't take a flashlight, didn't even need it. And so it's a wonderful time to get outside. You know, what hurts me more than anything right now is to go by somebody's yard and see no footprints in their snow. Mm-hmm. The snow's been on the ground a long time. And so it really saddens me when I walk by someone's yard and, you know, you only see footprints going from the side door to the driveway, you know. And so people tend to think, oh, it's cold outside, there's snow on the ground, you know, I don't, there's nothing to do out there. But boy, it's a great time to be outside.
I'll tell you what, I mean, when I was a kid, and even a bit now, I mean, I was an astronomy nerd, you know. Mm-hmm. I had my star maps and the little telescope. And it always seemed so much different to go on a very clear winter night and just look up. You mentioned a full moon. Well, it seems like it'll light up the whole world when there's snow on the ground. But, I get up in the morning. Our regular listeners know that very early in the morning. And I still get a little bit emotional, or at least you feel a little differently when you go out. The snow's all lit up and you just look up and you can see the stars so clearly. It's a little bit different in the cold and in the wintertime.
It is. And like, you know, I mean, there's a different sky in the wintertime, mm-hmm. compared to the summertime. Different constellations are more visible and, you know, Orion is in a different position. And so it's really neat that you can really see these bright, bright stars at night. And again, have the experience of being cold. You know, you can't appreciate the heat until you've been cold, you know, and so it's really nice to be able to get those two experiences together. You know, right now with the snow on the ground, you've got a great map of what's in your area. And that's what I really enjoy doing now too, is really seeing who's there. You know, I was walking, I guess it was Sunday morning at Hathaway Preserve down in Wabash County, and a rabbit took off in front of me. You know, you always scare up rabbits, you know, and you don't think much of it. But I really started to pay attention to its tracks, where it took off, and it, you know, took off with so much force that it went through the about 5 inches of snow that was there and got rid of all of it, and even kicked up some of the soil underneath. You know, it took off with a lot of force. And I started to notice that this first couple hops were, you know, maybe 1 foot to 2 foot as it was gaining speed. Once it got up to full speed and I was following the tracks, there was a good 6 to 8 feet between its hops. I mean, that thing was really moving. It was covering a lot of ground. Had I scared up that same rabbit in the summertime, I would have thought, wow, that's a pretty quick rabbit, you know, and not thought anything else of it. The snow on the ground afforded me the opportunity to look a little harder. And so I learned a little bit more about how a rabbit takes off. You know, what am I going to do with it? Who knows? But at least I know that now. And it gave me a better appreciation, one, for the acceleration and the power that its hind feet have when it's taking off. Mm-hmm. And two, just to see that acceleration pattern. And I had no idea that a rabbit could hop that far.
No,
who knows?
Either.
Maybe they can
today.
Hop even further. But once it got to full speed, it was a good 6 to 8 feet between each hop. And so, again, I gained a more of appreciation for an eastern cottontail rabbit on Sunday that only the cold weather afforded me.
We want to hear from you today if you have favorite winter memories or want to share what your favorite winter activities are, the things that you seems like you can only do in the cold or they're more special in the cold. We want to hear from you. And of course, we want to know what's going on in your backyard as these temperatures have fallen and the snow has fallen as well. Give us a call, 260-452-1185. Call us toll free at 1-800-471-9264. You can always email MiddayMatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Looks like we have a caller on the line. Let's open up the phones and go to Fred. Fred, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Greetings. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Fred. Thank you.
Even if it ends in 13, I hope it's got a good one. Anyway, I'm calling about birds. I'm not sure if you have a bird expert on staff, but
Jason's a fan of birds. That's
very well, me too. And you know, to me, the winter time in Indiana is just full of floral bird profusions. They're, I think, more beautiful in many cases than the flowers. One thing that I've noticed this year, and we feed nigers,
yes,
as well as sunflower chips, And it wasn't until New Year's Day that we actually saw any birds larger than goldfinches and some summer sparrows. And we didn't even have turtle doves. And the neighbors also are reporting that a lot of their larger birds have not shown up. And we think maybe there may be a hawk in the neighborhood. But any comments on that perceived absence of blue jays, cardinals, and until recently, bluebirds?
Well, they are larger species, and so they require more food, and so they store more food than the littler birds, too. And so what you may be noticing is they've been relying on their caches, you know, their food that they set aside, more so than the smaller birds. And they haven't had, they've got more body mass, and so they don't have to eat as frequently. That could be part of it. And two, you know, a lot of what you're feeding is targeted more for smaller birds. If you go with a larger seed, like the whole sunflower seeds, and I put out a lot of peanuts, and when you put out whole peanuts in the shell, the birds have to stay there a long time, which is great because they're picking off the shell and trying to get to that peanut. And you get a lot of larger bird species. And so I've seen 5 different woodpecker species so far this winter. Wow. Just on the peanuts. And so you might consider some larger seed source to draw in some of those larger birds because they're looking for a bigger bang for the buck, a bigger fat content. And so suet and things like that may help to draw in those larger birds. But the hawk will really prey on the larger and the smaller birds. So I'm not sure exactly what's causing what you're seeing, but it could just be that the larger birds are just now really becoming, looking for the food harder.
Yeah, that really makes sense. Because we've not had snow cover until actually Christmas.
Yeah.
And, you know, that also can restrict the access to food.
Yep.
So that makes a lot of sense. And I thank you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, friend. Thank you so much for your call, and have a good day.
All right.
Bye-bye. 260-452-1185 is our local line, or you can always call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. We want to hear about your favorite wintertime memories of the cold, or maybe something that you're looking forward to during this season. Give us a call, or you can always post on our Facebook page or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Looks like we've had several callers join us here. Let's go to Maria. Maria, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hello, good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
I just thought it was a really great opportunity to, you know, reminisce about, you know, my childhood and with my siblings. Now I live here in Fort Wayne and in the city, and I don't really get the opportunity to, you know, go on those walks, or I guess I don't take the opportunity to go on those midnight strolls anymore, but we, you know, used to live kind of in the outskirts of the city, and it was beautiful, and when it got really nice and cold out and we'd get a fresh batch of snow or kind of rain and then snow, so the trees would fill up with that kind of icy glisten on the branches and so forth, and we would go out to the woods and, you know, just kind of walk around out there, and it was very majestic, and I think that's something that my nieces and nephews have never even done or thought about doing, and I don't know. I thought it was really a great opportunity to kind of remember that those opportunities, you know, do exist. And it's really, being out in the cold isn't something that we should be afraid of, really. Those were magical times, like the frozen creeks, you know, where the water was still running underneath the ice. And that was amazing to us. Like, we would have never even known that, you know, even the smallest creeks, even though they look like they're frozen over, they're really not. And that kind of gave us a lesson on, you know, just being safe on ice. Like, you know, you really need to be aware that just because it appears to be solid, it wasn't. We needed to know that. And that's something that we would have never knew had we not been out there just playing around.
Majestic, I think, is the word we were looking for at Jason Kissel.
Well, it really is. And what a great opportunity you have. Like you mentioned, your nieces and nephews that maybe not had that opportunity. You can be the person that really gives them that experience. And again, you don't need to know what you're looking at. Like you said, it's some people are scared because of just they don't know what to do in these natural areas. But like you said, your memories were based on a lot of what you didn't know. And that's so fun to explore with kids. And instead of hiding inside on the coldest day of the winter, you know, make a point to say, hey, kids, when it's the coldest day, we're going to go out. It's going to be 3 degrees and we're going to go out there. And that gives you an opportunity when it gets to -1 to take them out again. Hey, it's colder. You know, I'm going to call you up. We're going to go back out. You know, when I was at Purdue, they did the Nude Olympics on the coldest day of the year.
Oh,
and,
man.
And they would do them 4 or 5 times a year. And so it's a great model for, you know, saying, hey, when it gets really cold, we're going to go out and have this adventure. And I guarantee you they'll remember that aunt took us out there. You know, on the coldest day each year, she would call up and we'd go out there and, you know, and what they would, you could make those memories very easily.
Maria, it sounds like what you're describing isn't just isn't just an adventure, isn't just a beautiful scene, but also a few life lessons and maybe science lessons picked up there as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was fortunate enough to have a science teacher in middle school who was, you know, really kind of sparked that interest in going beyond our little suburb of what we knew and what we were used to. And so, you know, I've always kind of had that wonder, I guess, but for my nephews and nieces, you know, they do live in a suburb also, and they're kind of a little bit more sheltered. And I was the first person to take them sledding, and you know, just those kind of experiences where you, it's okay to get outside and get a little bit
chilly,
cold and a little wet. And we'll survive it.
Well, we appreciate the call, Maria, and get over and get those kids outside.
So I have a plan too. Thanks, guys. Yeah,
thanks so much for sharing your memories with us. We appreciate it. Have a good day. All right, 260-452-1185 or 1-800-471-9264. Jason, that's exactly what we were talking about, some perfect-sounding memories made in the cold.
Yep, exactly. Sometimes just the fact that it's cold is enough to really enhance that experience enough to the point where it makes it unique.
We appreciate the call, Maria. That was wonderful. Let's see if we can get one more caller on the line before we have to go to a break. Looks like we have Art. Art, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
I remember many years ago, I grew up in western New York in a snow belt. And I went out with my brother into the woods, and we would sit and hold out her hand with sunflower seeds, and the chickadees would come down and pick them off our hands.
Wow.
And that was quite a thrill. And my brother was a buddy of Roger Torrey Peterson, who was our neighbor. He was a renowned ornithologist, and my brother and he would go off on many trips to photograph birds and everything. And on another occasion, I was peddling newspapers, and this was in January. And where they left off the newspapers, I had to walk about a half a mile to my route. And the temperature was 29 below zero, and the snow in places was up to my hips. And it was really an experience, and I thought afterwards, boy, I'm glad I got through that.
I think my parents called events like that character building activities. But that's incredible. And I went to school in central New York, and I know that snow is legendary. I imagine you have a lot of memories of really cold but really enjoyable winter times.
I remember winters when the snow was, we had 15 feet of snow.
Wow. Holy cow. Well, Art, we appreciate you sharing these memories with us. Thank you so much. And Jason Kissel, a perfect opportunity to commune with nature here, holding sunflower seeds in your hand and meeting the chickadees.
It is, and what an honor to live next door to a great ornithologist like that. And again, you know, it's these opportunities. Those same birds would have plenty of food in the summertime. They wouldn't be interested in that food in your hand. But again, the cold weather and the scarcity of resources allow those things to happen. And who knows, this may have been decades ago, you know, I mean, and he still has these very vivid memories.
This was about 90 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
See, I mean, it's just amazing what can happen in these just intimate moments that only the cold allows. And so that's obviously stuck with you for decades, and that's a wonderful experience.
Thank you.
Art, that's incredible. Thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it.
Right.
All right, bye-bye. 260-452-1185 or 1-800-471-9264. I think we do have time for perhaps one more caller here before we have to go to a break. Let's see. We've got Nick on the line. Nick, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for being with us.
You guys have triggered a memory in me that... really strange. I was lucky enough to grow up with two parents, and my parents were very good people, but they were not exactly the kind of people who hung out with their kids. And one of my best friend's fathers basically kind of adopted me and taught me how to ride a motorcycle, how to fish, how to ride a snowmobile. And I remember during the winter, him basically forcing me into rock climbing when it was like 15 degrees, and riding a snowmobile, teaching me how to ride a snowmobile, cross country skiing, downhill skiing, a whole bunch of stuff that I never would have learned in a million years. And every time it starts snowing, I think of my friend's father.
Wow.
And all the time he took to teach me, you know, when my father wouldn't. It's really weird.
That's incredible. And every time we get that first snowfall, it's a nice reminder, it sounds like.
Yeah, every time it gets cold.
Every time it gets cold.
Every time I can't feel my feet, I remember him.
Well, Nick, those are wonderful memories. We appreciate you sharing them with us.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
All right. Have a good day. Jason, we need to take just a very quick break here. We would like to thank everybody so far for sharing their memories with us. And Catherine, we know you're on the line. We'll be with you after the break here. Stay with us. It's Midday Matters.
The largest al-Qaeda-held territory in the world is in northern Mali, where Islamic extremists seized control in April and are terrifying the population by performing amputations as punishments. Islamic extremists now have a sanctuary there. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Adam Nossiter, the New York Times West Africa Bureau Chief. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOI News. Police have arrested a man in connection with an attempted armed robbery of a Fort Wayne post office. Police say city officers and federal agents arrested 34-year-old Julius Lawson of Fort Wayne on federal robbery charges Wednesday. Lawson is charged with being one of two masked gunmen who, on December 19th, entered the post office on the city's southeast side, leading four workers to hide for more than 2 hours until officers entered the building. No injuries or gunshots were reported. Lawson was being held without bond at the Allen County Jail. It was not immediately clear whether he had an attorney. Two Republican state senators are pushing measures to decentralize school leadership in Indiana and pull the state out of a national education initiative. Senators Mike Delf of Carmel and Scott Schneider of Indianapolis said Wednesday they will submit bills to decentralize school curriculum decisions and end Indiana's participation in the National Common Core Standards, a set of uniform benchmarks for math and reading. If successful, Schneider's measure would mark another rebuttal of the sweeping education changes pushed by departing state school superintendent Tony Bennett and outgoing Governor Mitch Daniels. Bennett and the state's education board signed off on Common Core standards in 2010. Democrat Glenda Ritz defeated Bennett in November's election with a promise to decentralize decision-making. A federal judge says Indiana has been deliberately indifferent to the plight of mentally ill inmates in its state prisons, who amount to nearly a quarter of the system's population. WBOI's Sean Beter has more.
U.S. District Judge Tanya Walton Pratt ruled that the Indiana Department of Corrections does not provide adequate treatment for mentally ill prisoners in violation of their constitutional right against cruel and unusual punishment. The 37-page opinion says the state does monitor mentally ill prisoners, but it does not do a good job of providing care for them, even though it knows some of them are at high risk of suicide. Lawyers for both sides are supposed to meet within 45 days to discuss how to correct that problem. For WBOI News, I'm Sean Beter.
The federal government says preliminary figures show that Lakes Michigan and Huron reached record low water levels in December. A representative from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says that the measurements are expected to be made official later in the week. All of the Great Lakes have had lower water levels in the past year because of light snowfall in the winter and light rainfall in the spring. The previous all-time low mean level was set in 1964 at 576.2 feet above sea level. You're listening to Midday Matters here on WBOY 89.1 FM. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and now back to Midday Matters with your host, Sean Beter.
It's about 12 minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock. You're tuned to Midday Matters Outer Spaces on WBOI Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter, along with Jason Kissel from Acres Land Trust, and we're talking this hour about your favorite winter activities, your favorite winter memories. We've had a lot of folks already call in with some wonderful stories, and we want to hear yours before we have to finish up this hour. Give us a call and share your story, 260-452-1185, or toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet at Midday Matters. We have a very patient caller on the line. Let's get to Catherine. And Catherine, thanks so much for your patience. You're on the program.
Thank you. I wanted to tell you about, if you remember, back in 77 when we had the big blizzard, our yard here in Huntington doesn't get much snow most of the time, but that year we got so much snow that my children were able to tunnel under the snow and also use the top of the snow for sledding.
It was
my five children, and they thoroughly had the most fun playing out there. For my husband and I were teachers. I'm retired. And the children would go out and play every day. It was a constant thing. It was just the thing to do. We didn't have school, and so therefore they needed something to get out of the house and do. And I have to say that my children were very creative that year when they built those tunnels.
Well, that's great. They kind of got a model example of what the mice are doing right now in just 3 or 4 inches of snow. And, you know, I bet they even noticed how warm it was in those tunnels, you know. And
they did. Yeah. They did. And they were very clever. They took some cardboard that was around, and they shored up the walls so that it wouldn't crash on them.
They reinforced the walls.
Yes.
My, oh, my.
Because they wanted to keep on sledding on the top of the hill.
That's a wonderful story. Holy cow. I have to confess, Catherine, I was not yet in this world when that snowstorm happened, but I've heard a thousand fantastic stories from my relatives about how much fun really they had. I haven't heard a whole lot of bad stories about that storm. They enjoyed themselves.
It was not bad stories. The day of the blizzard, yes, that was a whiteout, and people around here in Huntington and Fort Wayne, they just could not believe how this was. I grew up in Lake County, on the other hand, and so I was very aware of, you know, the the lake effect snow when I was growing up.
Sure.
And I missed it dreadfully coming into this area. But the kids were able to have a good time, and it made for wonderful memories for them. They often talk about how they built those tunnels.
A little bit, Jason Kissel, just a little change can bring out incredible creativity in folks.
It can. It's great. It's a whole new media to play with. Like I said, if you're a kid, I mean, you know, in the summer you might have tall grass and corn and other things, but in the wintertime you got this wonderful thing that you can build with, you can throw it at each other, you can tunnel through it. I mean, it's amazing what a kid can do with this white stuff that we call snow.
Catherine, these are fantastic memories and fantastic stories. Thank you so much for sharing with them, sharing them with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Have a very good day. Goodbye. Just about 8 minutes left in the hour. We'd love to hear from you. 260-452-1185 or 1-800-471-9264. Let's go to Linda, who's on the line with us. Linda, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi. I'd like to thank you for the program as well. It brought back a memory to me that I might not have dug up any other way. Years and years ago, we had three little girls, and they were all sound asleep in bed. And this is something we've never done since. But my husband said, let's go take a walk. And we did. It was about midnight. It was totally clear. The snow was newly fallen. There were no footprints. There was no noise. There were no cars. It was absolutely, as the other caller said, it was just majestic. And it was a wonderful memory. And we actually left those kids at home alone to go do that. And when we got back, we said, oh, my God, we can't ever do that again. And we never did. But my husband recently passed away, and so this was a really special memory. I might not have thought of this one for a long time. So I really appreciate it.
Oh, that's great.
Well, thank you so much. And Jason.
Yeah, and that's really one of my favorite activities, as I described before, because I love trees. And you can see the architecture so well in winter. And so, and to pair that with a moonlit night, and then you'll see, like, you know, it's just truly is majestic. It's a wonderful word to describe it. It's you know the snow's there, but you see it in a different light. It's a softer light, and you see these shadows from the moon playing against the snow, and it's just a wonderful experience. And you know that most other people are sitting in their house watching the TV.
Right.
Missing this experience, and you two shared this experience that you'll never forget. Again,
right.
You could have sat on that couch and watched the TV, but, you know, he made the effort to say, hey, let's go take a quick walk.
Yeah,
it takes.
It was really great, and it's a great memory. So thank you very much.
Oh, a very special memory, it sounds like. Thank you so much, Linda.
You.
We appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 260-452-1185 or 1-800-471-9264. Just about 5 minutes left in the program here. Looks like we've got another caller on the line. Let's get to Alyssa. Alyssa, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi. I was 11 when we moved to Indiana from California, and we moved to southern Indiana, but it was snowing on the day we were moving in. So I went with my father to go pick up food for the movers, and it was those really big snowflakes that fall. And he had a Fiat X19, so kind of low to the ground, a small car. And on the highway, it felt like I was in the Starship Enterprise going into warp speed. It was just really cool to see the big snowflakes, you know, flying at you. It looks like you're flying almost.
That's perfect. I love that story. Yeah, it's really, Jason, and this is maybe the bigger point that we've been getting to all hour. The cold, the snow shifts your perspective a little bit.
It really does, and I never thought of that. You know, and so it's really neat to see snow with fresh eyes, because we've seen snow blowing sideways and coming at our windshield since we were 4 or 5 or we're even aware. But you coming at 11, you know, I can see the Star Wars right now, you know, going to warp,
right.
Seeing all these things come by. You know, I wouldn't have had that experience because it was more common to me. Ever since I was 4 or 5, I could, that's snow blowing at you. But no, that's wonderful that you experienced it in a different way.
And it sounds like, Alyssa, you obviously moved from a southern California.
Yeah, it was Southern California in the San Fernando Valley, and it snowed in the valley once. My parents woke me up at about 2 a.m. and said, come look at the snow. But But it wasn't a quite the same memory as when I moved to Indiana.
Yeah, that's a wonderful memory. Boy, Jason, we've had a lot of fantastic memories this hour. Alyssa, thank you so much for sharing with us.
Have a good day.
All right. Have a very good day yourself. Just a few minutes left in the program here. We have a few more callers to get to. So let's open up the phones, and we've got Lisa on the line. Lisa, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi. How are you?
Very well. Thanks very much for being with us.
Well, I have definitely some good memories of the blizzard of 78 because I was out of school for a week, and we had a blast. tubing every day over at Broody's Gravel Pit on the south side of town. But we moved out to the county about 7 years ago, and I have taken up cross-country skiing, and I love it. And we happen to live down the street from the McNabb Walter Preserve. So we did a New Year's Day hike, which was beautiful, but I was noticing the unbroken snow in the field along the tree line. So I'm down today and took a nice ski along the trail.
I'm a skier myself. I haven't done it in a while, but it's a great way to see a lot of a lot of the world around you in a very short time.
Yeah, it's great. And there were the only other tracks were deers and other little animals, so it was nice to sort of cut my own trail along the edge of the woods there.
Oh, that's the best feeling in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, it's awesome. I can't wait to do it again in a few hours.
Lisa, thank you so much for sharing with us. We appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Time for one more caller here, I think. Let's go to Fred. It looks like we've got Fred on the line. Good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Well, thank you. 78, we were on strike. We couldn't go anywhere anyway. It took me 2.5 days to shovel through a drift in my front yard. It was like 6 feet high and 30 feet wide. My neighbor lived in a trailer, and the east side was the door, and the snow was clear up over the roof. It drifted that bad. That's the worst snow I've ever seen. I'm 69.
My, oh, my. That's and this was 78?
Yeah, it was in the spring of 78.
Yeah. Wow. It's interesting, you know, hearing all these stories, Jason. We've heard a lot of folks sharing fun they've had when they were kids or that they're having now. But snow, as we were talking about over one of our breaks here, it does make everything harder and occasionally a little dangerous.
Well, it does, and that kind of is what reinforces that experience, I think. You know, whether it's cold or whether it's the snow, it takes more effort to do things, and people recognize that. And so they kind of appreciate when you do something during that time. And like Lisa was saying, there's a sense of exploration. People have been in that preserve before, but she knew no one had been in that spot since it snowed. Mm-hmm. And so that gives you a renewed sense of exploration and just, hey, I'm the only one who's brave enough to come out here, and I'm the only one who's been here today or, you know, since that snow.
It certainly makes even the smallest things a little more adventurous, including what Fred's bringing up, just digging out in the first place. Fred, we appreciate the memory. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Have a good
day.
You as well. Jason Kissel, we've reached the end of another Midday Matters program here already. I feel like our listeners could share a few hundred more stories with us if we gave them the time. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us on this program.
Well, you're welcome, and I just want to encourage everyone, go make that winter cold memory today.
Do it today. Perfect advice. I'm Sean Beter. This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, WBOI Fort Wayne, and WBKE North Manchester. Thanks so much for being with us and for your calls and comments. Fresh Air is next.